All right, we are waiting, our Republican friends were coxing, and I know Representative Magnus is in rules, which is where I'm supposed to be too, but I checked in and checked out. So, first thing, House, let's see, Representative Paul Anderson moves the minutes of April 1st. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Adopted. All right, members, what we're going to do today, as you know, you've got the bill and the spreadsheet in front of you. I'm going to have Jim Reinholtz go through the spreadsheet first, but just some housekeeping. Tomorrow morning, we'll meet here at our regular time, and that's when we'll entertain amendments, and that's when we'll take any testimony that people want to testify. And we've got the room until 1. And then if need be, we can come back after session tomorrow and go as long as it takes to finish it up. So be aware of that, that I'd like to get it done. I think we all would before we go home for Easter break. I'm not anticipating, you know, a lot of amendments, but there are some. I even have some that I know are being prepared as technical or additions that we forgot, so there's some of that going on. But certainly, I know we're in a tight schedule, and my apologies to the staff on that. We've worked hard. I know over the weekend we were working and proofreading bills, and obviously if there's amendments needed, they're going to have to draw them up after this meeting and or early tomorrow morning with you and get them in. But we'll take whatever time it takes. We're not in a hurry. Now, the other thing I'll mention before we start the spreadsheet, and as you look through the bill, if you don't see your stuff in the bill, that's because it's in the base budget. What you're going to see in the bill, and I'll go through the bill myself afterwards, is legislative initiatives. If it's a department initiative, if it's in the base budget of the department, they don't show up in the bill other than the big lump sum money. So that's why I know a lot of people get excited when they're looking at their first omnibus bill or something. They don't see their name in here or their project. Well, if it's a base budget project from the department, like some of them, a lot of them are in Veterans Affairs, for example, you don't see state soldiers assistant grants and you don't see CVSO grants and those types of things. They're in the base budget. We went through all those in the book and they're as reported to us. If people think they want to add those base budget items to make sure that the monies are spent that way, otherwise the department generally has a little flexibility in those funds, which we like to give them. You know, the commissioners and others certainly have some limited flexibility in those general fund accounts and even in the agriculture and the special funds accounts. So, but if you don't see it in here and you want it in here, that would be appropriate. We can certainly draft an amendment. But otherwise, if you're in the base budget, you're pretty well safe, and you can confirm that with your commissioner or your legislative folks from the department. So, with that, I know Mary Murphy's going to be here at 4:30. We're going to try and be out of here at 4:30 so she's not standing there tapping her foot at us. So, members, I'd ask Mr. Reinholtz to go through the spreadsheet. And again, that becomes an important piece of paper for all of you because any amendments you do that you want to add money to one pot, you have to remember two things. Number one, and the good reason to get them into us as early as possible, you have to take that money from somewhere because we have a set target and this budget reflects it. Number two, we have some one-time pots of money that show up here. For example, livestock investment grants we're going to talk about. If you take money out of there and put it into base funding, you've got a tail problem. You have to find some, and you're not seeing the next 2 years on here because we don't put the budget together with the tails in our actual document. But there are tails out there, and if you're taking one-time money to pay for base funding items, then you have a tails problem, and you have to go find money in the next 2 years. And we're happy to work with you on that, but it's not as simple as just moving the chess pieces around, and you should definitely check with Mr. Reinholtz and others if you are getting amendments to move money around or whatnot. Or, you know, just talk to us. If there's some problems on stuff, we can probably work it out. Again, this is our bill. Tomorrow we'll be amending the DE-1 to House File 1122, and then we'll be amending to House File 1122, the DE-1 amendment. All right, enough is enough. Mr. Reinholtz.
Chairman Junkie and members, I will be using the handouts
titled The Agriculture Rural Economy, the Veterans Affairs Budget General Fund Summary by Agency, to give you an overview of the funding that is in the Delete Everything Amendment Number 1 as distributed. The first page, as the title says, is Summary by Agency for the fiscal years 2010 and 11. That's the biennium, the budget coming up. There's three columns. One is the forecast date. The next column is the governor's request. The third column then is the numbers, general fund appropriations contained within this delete everything amendment. The total is $206,175,000 and divided among the agencies as indicated there. Moving on to the second page, this then is a detailed spreadsheet of those numbers and also the non-general fund numbers. And what this shows the base amount. There's three sets of columns. One is the base amount based on the February forecast for the agencies. The second set of three columns is the governor's request for the 2010-2011. And the last three columns are the recommendations contained within the Delete Everything Amendment. I will just this is organized with the agencies, by their programs, and then also by the change items. Most time the interest is on the change items, so I'll just concentrate on those, and if you have any questions on anything else, please ask me. So this first section would be the Department of Agriculture, the Protection Services Program. The first change item would be on line 19. That's the plant pest survey. The governor, if you look at the numbers, the governor recommended elimination of that program. The committee's recommendation are to reduce that program, not eliminate it, but reduce it by a total of $100,000 over the biennium. Line 20, this is another general fund item, the wolf and elk damage compensation. The governor, the agency and the governor recommended an increase of $100,000 over the biennium. This Delete Everything Amendment has that same recommendation. On lines 23 through 26, these were agency and governor recommendations regarding the pesticide program, dairy food inspection, and the ACRA program, all out of the statutory appropriated agricultural fund. The Delete Everything Amendment has the same recommendations as the governor, so basically adopted the governor's rec. Lines 28, 29, and 30. These are commonly referred to as the clean water funding items. The governor included his clean water funding recommendations in his omnibus bills. The committee, this Delete Everything Amendment, does not have any of those items, but I believe it's the intent of the chair to have a separate bill come out of this committee going to the cultural and environmental, the dedicated funding committee with recommendations, so they will show up in a separate bill. That would be the first program. Next program, members, begins on line 47, the marketing and development program within the Department of Ag. The first change item is on line 61. That is the sustainable ag grants being reduced. As you can see, the governor recommended a reduction of $200,000. The Delete Everything accepts that and also has that recommendation. On line 62, there was a $286,000 reduction in biocontrol activities. The Delete Everything also has that. The urban pest management program is eliminated with a reduction of $202,000 over the 2 years.
I would add, let me interrupt there. It's my intent, I think the urban pest management, that's the laboratory actually over at Metro State, I believe, that we staff and help fund. It's my intent to put that in the clean water bill. I think those activities match up with that intent. And so even though it looks like it's eliminated here, for those in the audience that are curious, that will show up again in the clean water bill we send over to Representative Murphy's committee.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, members, the next item I think that would then be the Integrated Pest Management Program. The governor recommended a $354,000 reduction. The Delete Everything Amendment has a reduction of $200,000, keeping that program operational. Line 65, the organic cost share program, the grants are reduced by $90,000 in each year in the committee's recommendation. The aquaculture promotion program is eliminated as requested from the agency in the governor's budget. And line 67 has the egg in the classroom program reduced by $20,000 over the biennium, which was the recommendation of the governor. Line 69, once again, is a clean water item that the governor had, but not in the delete everything, and will be handled in a separate bill. And turn to the next page would be the next program on line 86 at the top of page 3 is the value-added agricultural program activities within the Department of Agriculture. The change items are on line 91 and 92. The first item was, if you recall, the governor had a recommendation to redirect money to the new from the value-added program currently in statute to a new program called AG-21. That's not reflected in the delete all amendment. Line 92 indicates the ethanol producer payments. The committee, the delete all recommendation for the committee recommends a $5 million reduction in those payments over the 2010-2011 period. I could mention at this point that will not reduce payments for production of current ethanol production, but it would reduce the payments made in an annual basis on what is the deficiencies from past years that are being made up. What it will do is push those out farther out into the future. It does not take away the commitment the state has to make those deficiency payments up for the ethanol producers. The next section would be the administration and financial assistance program within the department. First change is on line 113. That again was part of the AG-21 recommendation from the governor, which is not reflected in the delete everything amendment. On line 114 is appropriation of $60,000 in each year for a farm to home food grant. That was contained in House File 1747 that came before the committee. Line 115 is a $1 million appropriation in the Delete Everything Amendment for the Livestock Investment Grant Program, which was House File 563. Line 116 is a Minnesota Turf Seed Council Research Grant. The number for the House file does not show up there. It was Representative Olin's bill that came before the committee. It says $100,000. A recommendation over the biennium. Line 117 is regarding the dairy development program. There's a difference here. The governor had a recommendation of reduction of $1 million over the biennium. You delete everything, half that reduction to $500,000 over the biennium. Line 118 is titled the governor's staff salary elimination. If you recall from testimony during the committee hearings, the governor's office is currently has some of the staff assigned to the governor's office are being paid out of agency budget. This there's language in the delete everything amendment that would disallow this practice going forward, and this line indicates the reduction of $20,000 that would be saved over the 10-11 biennium if that language was adopted. Line 121 is the fertilizer R&E council grant. That was Rep. Chairman Junkie's bill that came before the committee. Has a recommendation of $800,000 in each year of the biennium for those grants. That really is the end of the ag department. The rest is just the totals, so I would skip on to the change items on page 4. The animal health board change items show up on line number 174 and 75. The first item on line 174 is a general fund reduction to the animal health board. The governor's reduction was $924,000 over the biennium. The delete everything recommends a reduction of $760,000, so a slightly smaller reduction. $175 was the increased funding requested both by the governor for the bovine TV buyout, and that is contained as a recommendation in the delete everything. The next agency with change items is the Agricultural Utilization Research Institute, beginning on 192. There's just one change item in here through the base reduction. The total budget for the agency for the biennium is $6.2 million in the base. The governor recommended a cut of $3.1 million, 50% of the base amount. The committee delete everything recommendation before you has a reduction of $434,000 over the biennium for the AURI. The rest of that page is just a summary of some totals, so I would move on to page 5, and that would move into the Veterans Affairs Department. The change items begin on line 254. This item was the IT merger dollar increase requested. The governor requested $1,960,000 for that activity. The committee delete everything is recommending a $600,000 increase to be used for consolidating the two systems from the vet services and the vet homes. Line 255, that doesn't show up on this spreadsheet because this spreadsheet's only showing the 10 and 11 years. The governor had asked for that sunset to be removed, which would have restored that funding in 12 and 13. The delete everything amendment does not contain that language. I believe the idea was that funding decision is really 2 years out and could be made at that time after there's a little more history on that program. Line 256 is the GI Bill education benefits line. That is indicated as a $4 million in each of the years being reduced from the base appropriation, which is $12 million. So at least $2 million in each year. And just to refresh your memories, and it also is contained, this information is in the packet that was in your, the information that was in your folder today from the department. In fiscal year 09, that program has not at this point spent even $1 million. So assuming that would go forward, we're leaving a cushion of over $1 million in the delete everything amendment on that activity. On line 257, there is a reduction in the delete everything amendment of $800,000 from the Vet Services Administration budget. On 258 is indicated a savings of $66,000 over the biennium. That is the same item as I talked about in the Ag Department, where we're just allowing the practice of charging governor's staff to the department. On line 260, there's a $94,000 increase over the biennium that will be split up amongst the service organizations that receive grants from the department. Moving down to the Veterans Home portion of the Veterans Affairs Department, the first change item is on line 282. If you recall, this is a $5.2 million increase the governor requested. It was entirely for, as indicated by the governor, it was 100% for staff salary increases. The committee recommendations do not contain any dollars recommended for those increases. Line 283, the Veterans Home Repair and Betterment line item. The governor requested $2.5 million for delete everything amendment contains $1,935,000. 284 was a change item by the governor requesting $440,000 for mental health program expansion at the Hastings home. The delete everything amendment has that in as a recommendation. Line 285 is a Vets Home Administration recommendation that's contained in the delete all amendment that would come out of the administrative budget of the Veterans Home Program. $500,000 in each year is recommended as a reduction. That would be the last of, that'd be the changes to the Vets Home Service. On line 6, there are, or page 6, excuse me, on lines 356 through 359 is indicating changes to revenues that are under the control of this division. All three of these items are ag fund revenues. As you can see, there's a fourth one, the fertilizer fee item. That was contained in on line 359, was in Representative Junkie's bill. That revenue would be $880,000 in each year. 358 is the department recommended and the governor recommended $74,000 be increased on dairy and food reinspection fees. That is contained in here. The language is different between the governor and the committee, and I think that will be explained as you go through the bill. 357 was a recommendation on increasing ag pesticide dealer license, and 356 was the pesticide program funding increase. The committee bill is slightly different than the governor's request. The department and the other interested parties made changes in that language as it came forward, and it's in the delete all everything amendment. It raises slightly different amounts. Mr. Chairman, that really is a summary of the bill's dollar effect. Other than one item, members, I need to point out to you that's not in this spreadsheet and it's out of there by my error. In the budget, there is a proposal. The RFA bonding proposal that came before this committee is contained in the budget. That is a $35 million bonding item. I should have had that in this spreadsheet, and I did not include that. It will be in tomorrow when there's final action.
All right. We will take questions. Just some general comments. Again, from your front page, realize what we're dealing with on this committee. Through nothing that we all could have done, but our target is $206 million, and the governor's target was $224 million. So obviously we had to trim a lot more than any of us would have liked to. I'll also point out that, and some of this I'll point out when we go through the bill, but on the Veterans Affairs side, all that money appears to be bottom line money when you see the reductions. There is some carry forward dollars that we see laying out there, a couple million dollars, as well as the GI Bill money, which as you remember is a last dollar in program, and we've only used, we've used under $1 million a year. And they request $6 million. So we left a cushion of actually $2 million at this point, which is twice as much as we anticipate we're going to need. But I felt the cushion was okay, and it gives us some flexibility moving forward, too. If we have some needs that we have to move a little money around, we can perhaps do it with that. So I wanted to point that out, that you know, there's no cuts to services or programs. We did not do the salary supplement. And the governor picked and chose where he did his salary subs, and here and maybe some correction stuff, and but he didn't do it across the board. And frankly, the discussion with our finance folks is, you know, either everyone's got a 2% salary supplement like we saw last time. If you were in this committee, we saw a line item for salary supplements in every committee, or you don't see any in any committee at this point. You know, I think the way we've been hearing the discussions on the floor of the House and other places, you know, we're trying to hold our own, whether it's college faculty or others, and you're just not seeing the salary supplements come through. So certainly that's a point of discussion, but I think you have to treat all state employees the same way. Most of them are under contracts and negotiate individually anyway. So with that, questions on the spreadsheet before I go through the bill, and that might explain some of the things you're wondering about here, too. Representative Magnus.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Reinholtz, I have a question on the clean water funds. Can you tell me the total amount, or maybe, Mr. Chairman, I understand that's going in a separate
bill. Great. Well, what our plan is, just again, to anything that's got a blank where you see the CWS clean water funds, plus the urban pest management, which I think fits the clean water fund, which we zeroed out, we'll be running a bill perhaps as early as next week out of here before the fiscal deadlines that'll just capture all those clean water funds and whatever recommendations or changes we want to make to the governor's recs. And we'll send that targeted number. Basically, the governor's number will be our target. Well, we don't even have a target. We can send down whatever we want. We'll be more successful if we adhere, I think, fairly closely to that. But that's actually an open-ended one, and Representative Murphy's committee will make that decision. So we will send a separate bill out.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Magnus, so could point out the governor's recommended amount is on line 151, $8,925,000.
almost $9 million.
And that's the amount that you've taken out on the other side then to send on? Plus the urban pass.
Anything we want to add to it, yeah.
Plus at this point, the urban pass or no.
And we had one other bill, I believe it was a Doty bill? Whose was it? We had a bill in here. Someone had a bill with clean water funds, and we'll probably send that over with that packet also. I can't remember whose it was right now.
So, Mr. Chairman, you're looking at, let's find the number here again, $8.925 million plus the $202,000. Is that,
whatever,
we're at nine?
Whatever we want to spend, but yeah, roughly $9 million.
So we're at roughly $9 million.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, I will mention, too, we've kind of did some calculations. You know, we've always talked about jobs in here, too, and where the cuts are coming from, and I want you to consider that as we mark the bill up. I believe we can prove at the end of the day, taking this budget and the clean water funds we're sending out, that we have actually additional FTEs and not less in across the board in this budget. So I think we've done a good job of trying to make our priority job preservation, and any cuts are coming on things that don't affect, hopefully, our staff or employees in the aggregate. Now, there may be some switching of jobs or layoffs and hirings, but overall, the FTEs are fairly solid. Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Looking at the line 115 on page 3, the change item to the livestock investment grant, out in 010, are we adding $1 million in funding, or is that the base funding?
No, there is no base. It's a one-time $1 million, just like we did last year. We decided we should have something there. We shouldn't let that program go. We talked to some of our animal folks, and in particularly, we put a call in this morning to the dairy producers and asked them if they were satisfied with that, or if they'd rather see more return to the dairy diagnostics folks, which we are less than, or half of what the governor's cutting, and they said they like this mix because the majority of these livestock investment grants went to their folks too. So it's a one-time $1 million, and if we can get the economy turns, if we find some money next year, we can add more, and that's how we've been doing this program, but I think it's an important program to keep going.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to go through the bill real quick. That'll answer some of your questions, and then we'll take a little more discussion, but like I say, the other committee's coming in. Again, you see base amounts of money, but we don't see line items adding up to that, because if it's in the book, if it's in the base, if it's a department program, it's not in here. If it's a legislative initiative, then it's in here. Yeah, Representative Magan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One additional question for right now. In the Vet Homes Administration, that $1 million, is that... Can you clarify that again?
Yep.
Is that
all the cuts to veterans beyond the higher ed GI Bill is money we see laying out there on the bottom line that has come forward, and it's carryover money. And so we'll be happy to work with their staff on that if they think differently, but Mr. Reinholtz is out there with the same books they have, and they see bottom line dollars kind of coming forward, and so this is a year we need to use bottom line dollars. So hopefully we can come to some agreement on that. Page 2, lines 217 to 222 is the wolf. 223 to the end of the page is the elk stuff. It doesn't say that in there. It refers to the sections. I wanted to let you know that what that was. Plant pest surveys, reductions show up on 3.1 and 2. Again, we did not eliminate the program. We had a lot of calls on plant pest survey from our small grain and soybean people in particular that were not any too happy that this was being eliminated. So we put in at least the amount that we think will keep the program going and be useful to them. The next is the Minnesota Grown, including the $50,000, like we talked about in the rider language there on 3.15, that will continue to work with our grocery stores and others. We had a pretty long conversation. We want them to continue those efforts. Sustainable ag grants, again, are reduced. Again, our assumption there is it's not jobs. You know, it's grants that aren't there, but there is $20,000 there for the book yet to be published, and there is additional dollars for some small grants for folks out there, so we're not eliminating it. But again, that was one of the things that we could look at, but it was a priority item. integrated pest management on 417. I'm going to explain also, and again, that's keeping that in place and not eliminating it. On the organic cost share, you're seeing big reductions there of $90,000 a year. And the reason is, again, there's a large, I think if you look back to your federal funds, there's $388,000 coming to the department from the federal farm bill over the next 5 years. That money can be used for organic certification. So we're not eliminating it. We left $10,000 in there to keep the program, because someday we're going to have to put more money back into that when the federal farm bill doesn't do what it's supposed to do. But at this time, almost $400,000 coming, and part of that can be used for the organic cost share over in the Department of Agriculture, and is an appropriate use, and certainly we'll encourage them to utilize that way. 5.14 is the ethanol reduction of $2.5 million a year. Again, remember, if you're getting a producer payment full yet, you'll get your full payment. If you're getting a deficiency payment, it'll be proratedly reduced over the next 2 years, but statutorily, we're still obligated to pay the full amount. So all it does is push that payment off into another year, perhaps, but they will all get their full amount. So. Again, we needed money in agriculture, and $5 million came out of that pot. Dairy development program is on 6.3. That's a $250,000 reduction, as we talked about. That's half of what the department had recommended, so we're less than the reduction they had. 7.25 is the turf seed council grants. That was the Olin bill. 8.8 is our food shelf money, fully funded, $1 million. That gets fresh milk to all the food shelves over the next 2 years. Very good thing in this economy. Livestock investment grants is on 9.3. Going down the page, the $800,000 a year going to our fertilizer research council, as you heard testimony from Bill Bond and the retailers. Plus, we could bring in almost everyone on that council, and they can give you the acclimates on that, and so we are appropriating money to them through the fertilizer tonnage tax or fee that we collect. And by the way, we'll collect about $880,000, and I will mention that to the department. There's about $80,000, if it's the same collection numbers as last couple years, there's $80,000 a year on the bottom line there that can be utilized within that division. So it's an increase basically to you that's not really talked about in the spreadsheet. The Clark bill, we saw $60,000 one time on the bottom there, 9.32. Those are grant pilot projects for the food to school program. That will do four $15,000 grants, urban, suburban, rural, and tribal grants, one of each. And the department will collect those and give them out. And we're going to, later on, you see in language, we ask them to work with the University of Minnesota Extension, who has done similar programs out there, and hopefully with their assistance, we can get some more of those up and going. And I can personally attest to it because we have one in Wilmer. Again, Rider Language Board of Animal Health on the next page, pretty much as recommended. What you see is the Olin bill on the bottom on 10.25 through the next page, 11.10. That's an Olin bill. EURI, again, I have to say I probably received a letter from every single producer group in the state saying do not cut them in half. And I think this committee kind of feels that way too, so we gave them the 6 or 7% cut like we were supposed to take out of everyone, but we didn't take additional amounts there, and we think that's important as far as our value added and all the researchers and scientists that are stationed around rural Minnesota. Page 12, you're just seeing language now show up, the governor's elk language. I should mention all the policy bills are in here, too, from both veterans and agriculture. So anything that passed out of Representative Otremba's committee that went to the House floor or came to our committee should show up here. If you have one of those bills and you don't see it, let us know. We'll add it. If it went to another committee, we have bills that were sent to, for example, the Military Affairs and Representative Kahn's committee or other places, they're responsible for those bills, and they should have those in their omnibus bills. So if you don't see one and wonder why, that may be the reason. It should either come to my committee or out to the House floor, and then we can, I think, rightly put them in here because they've cleared all the committees in the House. Mulry had a data praxis piece on page 12 for the department. That's all department language. Let's see, 1310 is the RFA language, changing those loan amounts. 1322 is an Emmer bill on horses that we passed and brought through. Noxious weeds start showing up, which is a big section over the next page. 14 through 26 is all noxious weeds all the time. So, and we're still working on language. I think we're real close. There may be a short amendment for that tomorrow, but everyone's pretty much on board with that. House files and townships are actually on board today too, if you can believe that. So we're getting close, Representative Magnus. That's right. Pesticide and fertilizer bill is the next major one, 510. That's the other one that took a lot of time the other day, and we still are expecting some cleanup language perhaps on that. That goes through page 36. The railroad bill, again, that everyone agreed to, is on page 36 on the bottom there, 36.16. And then the pesticide bill kicks in again. Again, these are arranged by statute, so you see bills split up going through here too. But from the top of 37 through 39, and then there's a little more, then you see the tonnage tax increase on the middle there, section 62 from 30 to 70. At 40 cents pays for that 880 a year, of 800 of which goes to our fertilizer research and educational group. And again, remember, that's probably a 3 or 4 cents an acre is what it will cost a grower in aggregate. Then House File 510, the same bill, through 42 is the pesticide bill again. Then we see on section 6642 an Eakin bill. Can't read your writing. The department's nursery bill. Last year I had Kate Byer, and her writing was a lot nicer than AJ Dewar's, let me tell you. And I'm trying to read his bill. He marked it up for me here. So he goes through 45 with the Eakin department bill. Then we see the Faust department bill on the bottom of 45, which goes through 47. Again, a lot of these are department bills. Feeding Minnesota Task Force is on Section 77. I've asked the department to look at that. If they want changes, I'm happy to see what we can do about it tomorrow on any changes to that. The inspection fees are in the middle of 48. Representative Tremba brought up, and I think it was a good point in one of our meetings, we were thinking that reinspection fee was paid by the dairy farmer. It's not. If you read the language there, reinspect on 48.18 must be paid by the processor. So we were going to split it 50-50, but we'll leave it all with the processor now, and I think our dairy farmers are fine then, because they're not being assessed this directly. It goes to the processor, just like the original fee. So that's good comfort language for Representative Tremba and the dairy folks out there. RFA bill, again, he picks up on the bottom of 48 and goes all the way to the bottom of 49. Interestingly enough, this is a new one, and I want to point it out. On the bottom, section 84, we have, believe it or not, a problem, we suspect, in western Minnesota, Representative Fultz District, who's not here, with some feral pig sightings. And so it's a new thing to Minnesota. As you read this language, it basically directs the DNR, Board of Animal Health, and Agriculture on how to handle the new feral animals we may see in this state. And a lot of states have huge problems with this. We're preparing, and in fact, probably next year we'll have more directive language. But this at least gives them the opportunity to kill those animals and eliminate them if we need to. You can eat those feral pigs, by the way, if you cook them well. Section 85, we put this in. Remember, federally, we have some talk about changing the ethanol requirements to perhaps 13 or 15%. We can't do that until we act. And so on page 50, lines 50.16, well, and above that, that section 85 basically says that we can adhere to whatever the federal government sets as a minimum. So we're at 10% now. If they set it at 13 or 15, we can automatically go there. We still go to 20. That's still in law, as we did in 2011 or 10 coming up. But in the interim, we can go up incrementally as the federal government does. So that's something we need to do. That could happen before the end of the year, before we get back to session. And so we want to be prepared for that. Bottom is Humane Society bill. This is a bill that came to me, actually, and deals with Humane Society, the animal there. It just eliminates the cap on what a city or county can spend on Humane Societies. Reason being, we're building a new Humane Society out in Candy Eye County. It's in conjunction with Erdahl's Meeker County, and they want to donate land, which is more than $4,800, and they want to put $250,000 towards the construction. They're not allowed to do that for some reason. No one knows why. We're just allowing cities to do whatever they want with Humane Societies as far as their donations. So that bill is a new one, and you should realize that. Farmer lender mediation starts, changes on Section 88 on page 52. And then you see the governor staff reduction language. You'll see it here and over in the veteran side. Again, my apologies to Josh Gackel. Phyllis Kahn wants to decide what the governor is spending for staff, and we were instructed to not do it in our bills, and so we love him. We probably would have gave him the only raise in the bill, but he gets to go talk to Representative Kahn about his raise. I don't know what's going to happen there. We have the whey ethanol study is on Section 91 on page 53. It's an Erdahl bill. Green jobs food study, again, part of that Clark bill, as well as the pilot project. You saw the funding earlier. This is the language to that. Federal stimulus funding, I think it's important to put it in there. We're asking the commissioner to apply for anything that's possibly available for agriculture. You know, look through the bills as they're coming out of Washington, make sure we're dipping our oar in the water and getting everything we have coming. Minnesota Made, Shemansky, Section 95 on page 54. Again, we're trying. Remember, we talked about Minnesota Grown, and now we'd like to see if we can't get some Minnesota Made for that Shell's beer from New Ulm to hang on the shelf. So Shemansky's going to see if we can't figure something out with the department through this language. Again, that's new language you haven't seen brought by Representative Shemansky. More of the feral swine language shows up on 96. Again, it's in two sections there. And they'll bring a report back on how we should approach this in the future, which they've agreed to do. Rural Finance Agency, $35 million is in Section 97. Note, we do not need 81 votes. It is user finance bonds, not GO bonds. You only need a simple majority or 68 votes. If anyone in your caucus or in the room has questions on that, it's not the same as GO bonds. So we're safe to put that in here. In case something happens to the bonding bill, we have it here, and we still have it as a standalone. So we can route that three different ways because it's important we get that money. That fund is running dry, and those are for supplemental loans to our farmers out there. Then we move into the Veterans Finance article, which is on page 55. And again, realize those base budgets include everything in your book. So if you don't see it there, the reason is it's in the book and they've agreed to do it as a department. However, if people feel more comfortable putting more in, we can do that tomorrow. But again, I'd check with your Veterans Affairs folks and make sure what they're doing in their base budget, it may be covered, and that may be the best way, because if you do put it in there and it gets crossed out or taken out by amendment, then we have a position against it, too. So there's a double-edged sword there. If your stuff is tucked neatly into the department, you're in pretty good shape. You see the IT money reduction on 56.8 again. We had to make some decisions, and we thought IT wouldn't be jobs. It'd be, rather be just delays. And we did front-load some IT money, I think, in the last session, too. So hopefully we can get by in these tough times with a little less IT money. The GI Bill reductions, you see on the next page, we've explained those already. Veterans Service Organization grants, I know they sit here in the room a lot. They haven't had an increase in a while. It's not much, but we increase almost $47,000 a year, almost $50,000 a year to be divided up by the folks you see there who are housed, most of them out here with our Veterans Affairs, and do a lot of veterans casework and other things within their organizations. We appreciate that. Again, going through it, 57 is the Severson bill on veteran veterans being interviewed for state jobs, okay? The next bill is the Hawes bill, starting on section 4 on the bottom of that page. Veterans designated on driver's licenses. Representative Magnus, if you're on transportation, I think that came through there, and there's no cost. And that goes all the way through page 60. So we brought that bill in at Representative Hawes' request. There's no cost or for that thing. I figured you won. Representative Hosh bill shows up on section 860.15, the teacher preference, again, allowing a veteran to have an interview preference, not a hiring preference as a teacher. For some reason, that was eliminated back in the 30s or 40s. We're not sure why, but Hosh reinstates that. We think it's a good thing, I guess. Part D Medicare and Medicare certification. We don't want to certify our homes for Medicare or do Part D medication pharmacy costs unless we can benefit from it. And basically what this says is ask the commissioner to look at them, those programs. If we can certify and get additional benefits without decreasing veterans' benefits, then it's a plus, and we ask them to go through that exercise for us. We shouldn't just say no if there's money out there that we can have without reductions in veterans' vouchers or benefits, and that's what you see at the end of both of those sections, to prevent an eligible resident from receiving fewer benefits than they would have received under existing VA. So we can go through that operation and see how that works. Section 11 is my bill you heard the other year. You all just, well, not all of you, but a lot of you just voted that out on the House floor. This changes the geriatric MI facility in Sandy Lake County to a non-bonding project and non-cash, by the way, for us. It asks the locals to do everything. Similar to what we saw with Magnus, I'm not sure Laverne, but we did see it up in Fergus Falls. It's a similar model to that. So it's a repeat of that language that you've already seen in another bill. Leader bill, section 12, bottom of 63. Reciprocity bill on based on military experience. Again, a leader bill that came through Representative Tremba and Conan's committee. Section 13 is my bill, which was a Vickerman bill. The Veterans Affairs CVSO Working Group is extended another year. We didn't quite get our work done. For those that I see some folks in the audience that were intimately involved with that, we're going to give her another shot and see if we can come back next year with some language and other things that we can then represent. Senator Ropes asked us to insert that in the bill. So, Section 14, that's part of the bill you just saw previous on the Candio High Geriatric Mental Health Facility. Another part of the Severson bill we saw previously is Section 15. It's broke in half. It carries over. Section 16 is new language members. I know you had a big discussion on the Vietnam or the Laos residents that helped us over in Vietnam and whether or not they should receive benefits. Well, we're not asking for them to receive benefits. Rather, we're asking the department to try and determine how many of those folks reside in the state. So we can come back next year and have maybe an intelligent debate or 2 years from now when we do new budget on whether we can afford that or if it's minimal or how does that rank in there. So we're asking for information. I think information is always good. And so Representative Powell brought that to us, and we agreed to put it in the bill. He doesn't think there's more than 100 or so domiciled in the state, and we know they were an important element in Vietnam. We have that Vietnam Day coming up. They saved a lot of American lives, and I think it at least behooves us to find out how many are there. Again, you see the staff language again on the bottom of 65, along with a typo that they'll correct. Affairs at the end there, that word of shouldn't be there. That is it. That's the bill as we see it today. Questions on the bill? Otherwise, my intent is tomorrow we'll take amendments, get them to us as quick as you can, work with staff, especially on fiscal amendments. Whatever we decide as a committee, this will be our bill coming out, and this will be our committee bill going forward. We'll also take testimony tomorrow, so people that want to testify on any of these sections, once we're done with the amendments, which may cover some of the testimony, then we'll, or during amendments, we'll entertain that from anyone tomorrow, too. and we'll go as long as it takes, get the bill done tomorrow, we hope. Any questions, comments, concerns? Representative Hamilton, Magnus, you're hip. All right. All right, very good. With that, good government all the time, as Representative Hamilton and David say, we're adjourned.